Welcome, mother lovers, to a brand new episode of Last Call at McLaren's, the How I Met Your Mother podcast. We are here for season two, episode two.
Not episode one.
The Scorpion and the Toad. All right. I am excited to talk about this episode. A lot of cool stuff happening here. A lot of interesting things that are leading towards stuff that happens later on in
towards
the show.
The and brighter future.
That's right. So bright. So bright it's blinding my face.
Is it blinding your face?
It is not.
Is it literally blinding your fucking face right now?
It's possible. Damn.
Please, Ben, tell me. Tell me how literally that's not Ben though. Sorry. That's
nobody cares, Sean. all right. So season two, episode two. Aired on September 25th of 2006. And John, do you want to take a guess at who directed this episode?
Pamela Fryman.
Wrong! This is the very first episode not directed by one Pamela Fryman.
Really?
We got a new director this episode in Rob Greenberg.
Interesting.
Rob goes on to direct.
If I would have said Rob Greenberg,
yeah, I think that would have been hilarious, and I probably would have shit myself a little. Rob will go on to direct a total of 7 episodes between seasons 2 and 7, including 3 episodes alone just this season.
Oh, nice!
A few notable ones that he goes on to direct are Monday Night Football,
okay,
Robots versus Wrestlers,
which is a great episode.
And Ducky Tie. Yeah.
I cannot wait for that episode.
Yeah. And it is written by Carter Bays, Craig Thomas, and we got a third writer on this episode, ooh, Chris Harris. Chris Harris wrote 3 episodes last season. He did OK Awesome, Game Night, and Marry the Paralegal.
Ooh.
Yeah.
No, so. I'm going to assume this is not the same Chris Harris as in, like, Chris Harris, the professional wrestler.
No. At least I hope would assume so. I guess it's very possible. I didn't dive that deep into, like, who this dude was. I just looked to see what other episodes he did.
Fair.
That's all I know. So, you know what? It's possible. It's always possible.
Oh, it's true. It's damn true.
So the summary for this episode reads, Barney helps Marshall get back into the singles scene. Lily is back in town, and Ted and Robin try to learn the truth about how she feels about the breakup. Right? It's not a terrible...
decent synopsis.
Yeah, it's not a terrible summary. So this episode starts off with future Ted talking about Marshall and how it took him a while to move forward after the breakup, which is what we saw. That's pretty much what we got to see in episode one, was that whole, you know, 2 months before he was even okay, even a little bit. You know what I mean?
No, not okay. Okay is lame.
Okay is okay. Okay is awesome.
Third base. That's a throw to a future episode.
It's true. And now he is ready to take a huge step forward. And John, how do we know this?
He checks out Robin's ass.
That's right.
Which, and in all fairness, who wouldn't?
It's true. And they are all pretty damn excited about him checking out Robin's ass.
I love how it starts off with Ted. And Ted's like, you were just checking out Robin's ass. And Marshall's like, no, I wasn't just. And he's like,
no, Barney says it. Barney says it. Because then he tells Ted.
You're right. It was Barney first.
Yeah.
Because then he tells Ted, and you're right, because Ted's like, yes.
He's like, Ted, Marshall was just checking out your girlfriend's ass. And he was super excited about it.
And then they tell Robin, and Robin's like, oh, great. I thought I was having a really bad ass day.
Yeah, I thought I was having a really bad ass day. Thanks. Which I thought was really funny. So because of this, Barney decides he is going to take Marshall out to meet some women. He makes this comparison to going to a candy shop and grabbing a handful of Whoppers. And then they spend the next hour apparently naming other candies that fit this joke, like Mounds and Double Bubble. And it made me think, I don't think I could sit there for an hour and name enough candies that fit into that mold. I just don't know if I could come up with enough candies to fill an hour.
You can't think of enough names. You can't think of like a whatchamacallit.
Okay. That took you two seconds.
I know.
Can you fill an hour? Can you fill an hour? I'm just saying, man.
Hold on.
An hour.
Well, that's like
an entire episode of this podcast just naming candies.
I mean, depends. Do you feel like a nut because you can have an almond?
Yeah, but it's supposed. I'm pretty sure, like the way that they, the way that they talk about it, it makes me think that all the candies are like sexually referenced as far as like the female anatomy.
I mean, they could be, but I mean, there could be the stretch in there, like Cadbury, your bone in her.
I mean, maybe.
And that's just a couple.
Yeah, but I just don't think I could fill an hour.
Maybe not an hour, but yeah, they did it.
That just means that they have like a very extensive knowledge of candy.
That might be unhealthy.
I'm just saying, like a little bit.
They might need a dentist.
Yeah, I mean, I wonder if most of it was Marshall because he's the food guy.
True, he is.
You know what I mean?
He's a foodie.
He's the food guy. So Ted calls Robin, and this is where he tells her that Marshall checks out her ass, which, again, she was very thankful for.
And when
she hangs up, she turns and sees Lily standing there waiting for her. After not seeing her for months, it's been like 3 months, the first thing Robin mentions is Lily's new hair, and they hug. And I mentioned this last episode. But I would still be pissed. You know, like, they're supposed to be best friends.
Yeah.
Lily bails. No communication. Hard. No communication. 3 months. And everything is just fine? Like, everything's cool. Like, yeah. there's not even a conversation about it. The only person who brings it up later on, it's not even in this episode, it's in the upcoming Christmas episode, is Ted.
Yep.
He brings it up. About how she left not just Marshall, but him also.
Yeah.
But she also left fucking Robin, and Robin doesn't seem to care.
No. And you're right, though. It really never does get addressed on the Robin aspect.
Yeah.
At least gets addressed on, like, Ted's side.
Yeah. And we already, like, we know that, I mean, like, if you're watching this for the first time, sorry, but we've said many times, we go deep into spoilers. You know, it's just, that's the way we roll on this show. We really want to have that deep experience of this show, you know, but we know later on that Barney, he got to see her. Like, it's not like he didn't spend 3 months not seeing where she was. He was involved in stuff that she was doing. You know what I mean? So he got to have that moment with her. But Robin doesn't get anything out of this. And I don't understand, you know, I feel like maybe it's because we do learn later on that Robin is pretty good about just kind of cutting ties.
She is,
you know, and maybe this is that kind of that first glimpse of that. Maybe they did it unknowingly, you know what
maybe.
I mean? But it does play into that side of her character.
Yeah.
Know? Like when, what was her friend's name? The one from Canada.
Oh, Jessica Glitter.
Yeah. It's kind of like, if you think about that, how she just kind of cut ties there. Never mentions her, nothing.
That's true. I hadn't actually thought about that.
You know, like, even if they weren't meaning for it to kind of link in that way,
although I think
it totally fits her character.
This is now the second episode that you referenced that part of her life.
Yes.
The last episode you referenced the Beaver song, and now you're mentioning...
It's because it's coming up soon, man.
No, that doesn't... that.
Well, that part of her life
is coming up soon. We don't find out about Space Teens until I think it's like season 4 or 5.
Yeah, but that part of her life is coming up in not that many episodes.
True.
It's like episode 9.
Can we sing the song when we get there?
I'm down for it. I might even play the video just for shits and giggles.
We don't want our shit pulled off YouTube.
We'll do it as a reaction. Like, yes, we're reacting to this. It's cool. We'll just have to butcher it by singing it. It'll be really bad, but it'll be hilarious nonetheless.
I can't wait to hear you do the giggle.
We'll see. So Barney takes Marshall out to the bar. He's extremely awkward trying to pick up women here.
He really is.
He hasn't done this in like at least a decade. It's been a long time. We get a
return of, have you met?
Yep. Have you met Marshall?
Have you met Marshall?
Yeah. He's all like, yeah. It's so bad. So Barney has to like kind of try to bail him out. He uses his magic tricks. We really get to dive more into Barney's use of magic in this episode.
The extravagantness, though, into the magic tricks he does here. Because he does like this thing where the girl, he looks at the girl and he goes, do you like magic? And she goes, I guess so. And he shoots like a little fireball to his hand and he opens it and it says, I guess so. And then they flash to the next day and Barney's like, I'm sorry. And Marshall's like,
you're a jackass.
Yeah.
Yeah. And he's like, poof. Oh, and it says, you're a jerk. Like, yeah. Oh, I really thought you were going to say jerk. Yeah. But yes, and the reason that he would be calling him a jerk or a jackass is because he starts stealing girls from him is what it is. And Marshall gets pissed.
Because it happens there.
Yeah, they happens go out there.
Again that night. Yeah. And Marshall doesn't even really get to start talking to the girl. Barney walks up and just cuts right in and like takes over again.
Yeah, but we'll get there. On this first one, after it all happens, you know, like I said, Marshall's pissed and Barney begs him to go out again. Okay. And he even says he'll teach him all of his strategies.
Yes.
He's including number 7, which is create a mystery about yourself. And this got me thinking, this feels like an early precursor to the playbook.
It kind of does.
You know,
I'm always like, it's number 7, which is create the mystery and intrigue about yourself.
Yeah.
And Marshall goes, that doesn't work. And he goes, maybe it does, maybe it doesn't. And Marshall's like, okay, that is intriguing.
Yeah, it does work. And so he agrees, you know, begrudgingly, but he does. And then we flash over to the apartment. Robin walks in. She has something she needs to tell Ted. But he has some news of his own, man.
He's got something he's got to tell her, too.
Yeah, man, some really awesome news. He found a 1939 penny on the subway.
Imagine the history this little guy has seen.
And you want to know what I think is awesome about this?
What?
This whole thing comes back later on this season.
Does it?
In the Lucky Penny episode. It is revealed that him finding this penny is the whole thing that causes a bunch of stuff to go wrong. Like he misses his flight, which makes him miss the job interview and everything.
Oh, yeah.
And it all links back to the penny. Yeah.
I can't wait for that to come back
around. And it's this moment, which I think is odd. This is where, like, this show really starts, like, insanely tying things together, like, beforehand. You know?
I can't wait to see that episode now. I don't think I ever got that.
Like, even just in these 2 episodes, we get a lot of that stuff.
Yeah.
You know, you get the moment where Marshall and Ted meet, and then we get to see it later on. We get this thing with the penny, and there's we get a lot of that stuff throughout, and it's starting to build more. And that's the stuff that I love to just be like, okay, you got to grab onto that and remember it and see how it connects here. And I don't know. That's some of my favorite stuff. I love all that stuff. And that's why, and it's stuff like that, which is the biggest reason why we don't have a spoiler ban on this show.
Yeah.
Because I want to talk about that stuff.
And I like that we keep to a very simple formula, and yet we still dive into like other things, theories, fan notes. Mm-hmm. We talk about Barney's blog, which ties into a lot of this. We talk into the shit that happens in the future. Because if you don't, it's going to be a very boring show, and you people aren't going to want to hear that.
Yeah, man. Like, this is the kind of show for, like, How I Met Your Mother fanatics like us,
yes,
who really want to hear about, who want to dive in and just and just get into the intricacies of this show. And that's what I love about doing it. Yeah, man, fucking A is right, and I'm never gonna change that.
No, I mean, shit, there have been plenty of times where me and you've just been chilling out talking about How I Met Your Mother.
Yeah,
that's never gonna change.
Yeah, that's why we started this show in the first place. You know.
Yeah.
So then, then Robin blurts out her news.
Yeah, I saw Lily today.
He's like, "What?
What? And you let me lead with the penny?"
I mean, I'll be honest, that's probably the better idea anyways, because are you really going to want to tell that penny story? You're going to lose all your enthusiasm for the penny story once you hear that.
Yeah.
I'm just saying. It's probably a good thing. He got to get his excitement out in a nice way. So then we have a flashback to Robin and Lily looking at an apartment. Lily, you know, she's telling her about the art program and everything that goes on, you know. We see a little scene of her and her teachers like praising her. And then we see like a scene of her like meeting a bunch of people on the bus. Yeah. And everything just seems wonderful at this point.
Too wonderful.
Yeah. Way too wonderful, as we'll see later on. Ted, not happy about it at all. He honestly doesn't buy it. He thinks that she's miserable.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and he thinks that she should be miserable. You know, that's what he wants. You know, he had to deal with Marshall for over 2 months, just being a fucking just pathetic pile of goo, essentially.
Pretty much.
And he doesn't think it's okay that Lily is, you know, all happy and doing well and all this stuff. He wants her to just be miserable. So then Marshall walks in while they're talking. And Robin has to lie to cover it up, knowing, you know, that it'll mess him up if he finds out.
Yeah.
And so she's just like, Ted found an old penny on the subway.
No, she says by the ears. She goes, he found a penny from 1939.
Oh, does she? I don't think I remember.
And Marshall goes, oh, good for you, buddy.
Yeah. The thought was pretty funny. And then at the bar, Barney and Marshall are trying this whole date thing again. Barney states some rules for dating, which again felt like another kind of precursor to the playbook.
Yeah, it could have been like the rules and stuff in the very open.
And so after that, after like getting like these two things that kind of made the playbook stick out in my mind, I kind of did a little research. I looked it up. We don't see the playbook until season 5.
Oh wow.
And then we don't see it again until season 8. We see it in the one episode of season 5, and then we don't see the playbook again until season 8. It gets mentioned several times between seasons 5 and 8,
but we
only see it those few times. However, in season 3, we get our first mention of an actual play in the episode The Bracket. Barney mentions pretending to be an astronaut to sleep with a woman. So that means that by next season, he's already doing plays like that style.
So, so these could be like essentially like, I don't want to call them like bylaws, but these could be like a preface in the playbook being like, remember these simple rules when running these plays.
Yeah. I really think that they're kind of building toward it.
That's really cool.
And again, just like what I was talking about before, like they may not even realize that they're doing it.
Oh, I'm assuming if they don't, then this is just sheer coincidence. But I wouldn't doubt that they didn't catch it later on and be like, tie this.
Yeah. If it's coincidence, then I think what they did is they saw all the stuff that they had done and said, you know what, this could work.
Yeah.
And then they kind of did the playbook because it all like kind of it fits and it seems to like that's where it's leading. So, which I thought was really cool. I really like that. And again, you know, we talked about how, you know, sometimes we just like to talk about theories. And that just might be a theory. But you know what? I like it. I think it's a cool theory.
True.
Yeah. All right. So Marshall picks out a woman to hit on. It's this woman with glasses. Barney is surprised. I think that he doesn't from first glance, he doesn't think she's all that attractive.
I mean, it's not Barney's typical go-to girl.
It's not. It's really not. But it, you know, it seemed to fit the mark for Marshall. And so he approaches her, and he tries to go the Barney route, and he tries an insult. And he just, like, instantly caves. He can't do it.
No.
And then he stupidly introduces her to Barney.
Yep.
Like, I love Marshall, and I know that, like, he's a little naive at times, but come on, man. Like,
that's what are like you showing doing? A snake a little mouse.
I mean, the whole, if you, the title of this episode is A Scorpion in the Toad. And yes, that's the name of the bar that they wind up going to.
Yes.
But it's also Barney and Marshall. Barney yes. is the scorpion and Marshall is the frog. That's exactly what's happening. Or Toad, whatever. That's exactly what's happening here, you know, because
yeah,
Marshall keeps getting stung by Barney time and time again.
Poor Marshall, too. Like,
yeah.
I don't feel bad for him as much on this one because he caved instantly.
He did.
Like, he came in really hard and, like, was instantly like.
And the thing is, him doing that actually worked for him because she seemed like she was coming around, but then. He instantly introduces her to Barney.
Yeah.
If he hadn't, I think he might have had a shot.
Maybe.
You know?
But then, like, and again, not to get too far ahead, but, like, third date, man, he had that down.
Yeah.
He made sure Barney left home. We'll get there.
Yeah. So, back at the apartment, Marshall, he is pissed again.
You took my candy.
Yeah. He tells Barney he will not go out with him again. This is the whole thing where he calls him a jackass and Barney like does the fire. You're a jerk. This is that scene. So Barney says that, you know what? Listen, I'm sorry. How about this? I'll take you to a college bar. You know, you can use the fact that you're a third year law student to your advantage. You know, you're smarter than, you know, a lot of these, you know, the guys that would be coming. And you can really use that to your advantage. And that kind of plays to Marshall. He thinks that's a good idea. So he agrees. But when he turns and looks at Barney, Barney is just gone.
Yeah.
And I thought this was hilarious because Marshall is shocked. He's like, how did you do that?
Because he tells him, he's like, you know, he's like, how did you do that?
Yeah, because he's like, talking about magic tricks and stuff throughout the whole episode.
Yeah.
And then, poof, he's gone.
And then Barney, like, leans in the doorway. He's like, I'm taking a piss, bro.
Yeah. He's like, I'm just taking a leak, man. Damn. Chill out. I thought that was really funny.
It was.
Because that means that he didn't even notice him get off the couch.
Yeah.
So then the next day, Ted and Robin go apartment hunting with Lily. Ted says, this is where Ted, after Lily kind of walks away, says to Robin that Lily is miserable. Yeah, he can tell. Robin doesn't buy it. You know, they bet on it. And $5. Yeah, he says that.
$5 American.
Yeah, $5 American. Damn. It says that three shots of tequila is what will bring out the truth. So Lily comes back with a key for this other apartment, and they check out the apartment, and it is a dump, and she's instantly like, nope, I'll take the other one. And it's funny, because this apartment comes back.
Yeah, this is the apartment she ends up in.
Yeah, this is the apartment she's in during the Christmas episode.
Yeah.
Yeah, which is...
so tiny.
You're going to piss off the big guy upstairs. Oh, I'm going to piss off Jesus. No, my super. And he turns the phone. We'll get there when we get there. But I love that whole scene. And because the guy, the super, the voice is Newman from Seinfeld.
By the way. That's great.
Which I'm sure I'll talk about again when we get there. But back at like the regular apartment, Barney comes over and tells Marshall to suit up.
Suit up.
And Marshall's like, no. And Barney, he's like, yeah, you know what? This will work for you. He's just wearing like a sweater and some
sweater and some jeans.
Yeah, some jeans, whatever. But this is where, like you were saying, this is where he makes Barney empty out his pockets and his sleeves for all of his magic.
I love the way he does it though, because he's like, "Look, we're gonna leave all magic tricks behind." And like Barney pulls out a thing of cards, and he does the, and Marshall grabs him, and then he's like,
"And your sleeves,
and your sleeves." There's nothing up my. Marshall like starts pulling out the anchor, and he's like, "And your pocket."
And no, because like, the pocket was the cards. Then he's like, "I think you forgot something behind my ear."
Yeah, and he's like, "There's nothing behind you." Oh!
Yep, and he pulls out that. That was pretty funny, and I love because like Marshall was having like he was laughing with that. Well, he thought it was funny too. You like they like they knew and they were having the banter, and I thought it was a good moment for the two of them. It really showed like kind of like their type of friendship.
Yeah.
And you know what I mean? Like Barney may be doing all this stuff to him, but they're still friends.
Absolutely. You
know? Yeah. So at the college bar, Marshall is chatting up this cutie named Amy, and he's doing really well. Oh, you know?
He's doing great.
But when she has to leave, he's so oblivious that she wants him to ask for her number.
She's dropping every hint.
Oh my god, it's painful
maybe
to watch.
Maybe we'll see you again.
Yeah,
maybe you should try to get a hold of me.
Yeah, like I do have a phone number. He's like, nice,
nice.
It's like, and then you know, and Barney comes over, and Marshall thinks he's gonna, you know, get in there and take it, but he doesn't. He actually helps out and gets her to give Marshall her number. And then on the cab ride home, Marshall, he's so excited. He's looking at the card. She's got cute handwriting. She like puts a little heart on her or something.
I love how he's like, "Yeah, look at this card, Barney." And then Barney's like,
I'm taking this.
He throws it out the window.
Well, no, first he's like, I'm taking this. And then Marshall gets so pissed that he flips out and starts choking Barney. He just starts choking him in the cab.
And I love how Barney's like, "Look, if I can't have it and you can't have it, I'm going to get rid of it." And he throws it out the window. And Marshall's like, "Stop the cab!" And the fucking cab, he's like, "Oh, what?" And Marshall gets out. And Barney's like, "Soup." He's like, and then he rambles off some address. Yeah.
Yep.
And the fucking cabbie leaves Marshall in the middle of the road.
Oh, dude, it was hilarious. It was real fucked up, though. But, I mean, we learn later on why he's obviously doing this in another episode, but it's still real fucked up. Then we're at Robin's place. Ted, Robin, and Lily are sitting around chatting. Lily gets a phone call and then walks off. Ted is assuming at this point now that Robin was right. She seems happy and he thinks he lost the bet and, you know, he's about to pay Robin. And then Lily comes out and says she did not get that nice apartment and just completely has like a breakdown.
Oh my God, man. Like she has a breakdown.
Yeah. I think that was the last straw and just the whole dam just broke.
I have to say, she starts having the breakdown and like Ted gets on the couch to comfort her.
Yeah.
And he lays on the sarcastic, like, "I care," so fucking thick. "Gee, Lily, this sounds like it's more than to do with the apartment. Something else you might have lost recently?" Yeah. And, like, she's like, "Ah!" And I'm like,
"The apartment was a metaphor."
Metaphor for Marshall.
Yeah, it's like, really, you're like having the sobbing like a breakdown, if that's your dialogue line.
Right. I love how, like,
okay,
I don't know if you caught this, but Robin pulls the money out and hands it to Ted right in front of Lily.
Yeah.
Like, no qualms about that ever. Just, "Here's my payment."
Yep, yep. And it's funny because, like, they make this bet about Lily and how she feels about Marshall and how she feels about the breakup and everything, right?
Yep.
And then later on, Marshall and Lily make a $5 bet as to whether or not Ted and Robin will get back together.
Yep. Well, I mean, they have the box of bets.
They do have a box of bets, but there's specifically a $5 bet about Ted and Robin, whereas Ted and Robin have a $5 bet about Lily and Marshall, which was really kind of cool, like a nice little callback, I guess. Yeah, you know, it looks like they're just, you know, tying shit together. And I like that. So that whole night was drinking, you know. Yep. That was the whole point, getting Lily a little bit drunk on some tequila so that she tells the truth. And so the next morning, Ted, Lily, and Robin are at like some diner, and Ted and Lily are just hungover. Robin, however, still drunk and giddy, and it's hilarious. She's like, whew.
I love the titty shake.
Dude, it's fucking hilarious. She is brilliant in that scene.
She is.
Like, they're like the two of them just being so hungover, but just watching Robin, because like Ted and Lily are talking through a lot of this, right?
Oh yeah.
And then there's just Robin there, just not having dialogue, not even having the camera focused on her. And she's just looking around, being all happy and just like doing things. And it's fucking hilarious to watch. It's one of the best parts. I loved it so much.
It reminds me slightly of the scene from Scrubs where it's the four women sitting around the table. It's Jordan, Carla, Elliot, and...
Yes. Mandy Moore?
Julie,
yeah.
And yeah, it's the 4 degrees of like growing up.
Yeah, like, I just recently watched that episode, yeah.
So you know exactly what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
And yeah, it just kind of reminds me of that, because like you said, like, Ted and Lily are both like, fuck this. And Rob's just like, I'm still drunk.
Yeah, it was good stuff. So Lily reveals that she's been dying to ask about Marshall, but she was trying to play it cool. And then she also, this is where she then reveals that the summer was not as great as she let on.
Oh, yeah.
She, you know, she met like a schizophrenic guy on the bus instead of all these fancy people. And the teacher was a complete douchebag. And she bombs out of the art program.
Yeah.
You know, like, that's.
You call this art? I can't teach you nothing.
Dude, like, I watched it. I was like, holy fuck. This guy is such a dick.
Yeah.
Like, there's no way in my mind that she is that bad that she can't.
I mean, we've seen some of her artwork.
Yeah.
Like, there's, I mean, and like, in no, the one hasn't come up yet. Never mind. Because there's, my favorite one happens to be the painting that they find behind the piano.
Yeah, that's the one I was literally thinking of.
The the new art.
Yes.
Nude art. Nude art.
Nude art. Nude art. Yeah, that's a good
one. Oh, no, it's new dart.
New darts.
New darts.
Nude art.
Oh, you guys found the painting.
But yeah, that's the exact one I was even thinking of. And I'm just like she's paying to be here. I assume she's paying.
I would assume it's a fucking
like program. I don't think you're getting to do this for free.
No.
And like it's like really? Like you can't teach her? Like fuck you, man. Like stop being a fucking condescending prick.
Maybe you should teach her then.
Yeah, exactly. How about this? Become a better fucking teacher.
Right?
You probably shouldn't be teaching an art program if you can't teach. Like
because those who can't teach gym.
That's right. So back at the bar, Marshall he's pissed off again at Barney, as he is.
Can you blame him?
No, I mean he's absolutely right to be pissed because Barney keeps stealing girls from him.
Yeah,
and he says that, you know what? How would you like to be able to redo last night all over again?
Same jokes.
Have a chance. He's like, well, how's that supposed to work? And he tells him that this girl has a twin sister, and they've set them up for a double date. So while on this date, Barney tells Marshall that he has to leave. And I'm just like, dude, are you fucking kidding me?
Yeah.
You just tried to make amends, you know? And again, we know why. After watching the show, we know why he's doing this. Well, when you're first watching the show, it's just Barney being a complete asshole of a friend.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And so he says to Marshall, he's like, you know, being single, it's like a lawless hellscape, essentially.
Pretty much.
It's not easy. And like I said, we learn that all this is all a plan to keep him from dating, because, you know, he's known about Lily and how she wanted him back and everything. However, in a later episode, it's the bachelor party episode, he makes a comment that this is where we find out about what Barney was doing, that he can't keep stealing girls from Marshall when he's trying to convince Lily to come back to New York.
Yes.
But he doesn't start doing that until Lily's back in New York already.
True.
So, like, I'm like...
That is, yeah.
That whole thing didn't happen until after she was already back. So he wasn't actually stealing any girls prior to that. So it didn't, I don't know why.
So,
like, and I'm pretty sure it's the same season.
I'm pretty sure. This is
later this season. I don't understand how they missed, like, how they would have messed that up. I don't know.
Well, I have a small side question for you, and this is going to flash forward to a future episode as well.
Okay.
So the episode where they introduce the belt.
Oh, yes. Yes,
okay. Yes. Barney talks about how he has a chance at a three-way, and he blows it. Is this the same two girls?
Well, I mean, they show the girls, don't they, in that scene?
They do, but I don't remember the girls.
I don't think they were twins. Because that's the one where he, like, spills the stuff on the rug.
Yeah, the wine.
Yeah, I don't think they were twins. But, I mean, it would have been... Dude, that would have been way more awesome. But as we see, he never even gets close.
True.
With these girls. So I don't think... I don't think it's ever meant.
You're right, though, because he doesn't... You're right. Never mind. Yeah.
But I think... I mean, yes, he's trying to keep Marshall from getting with other girls. But I also think that he is trying to go for the belt here.
I mean, I wouldn't doubt it.
Like, I think that's his end game. I think that was the whole point of him, like, setting up the double date.
Oh, absolutely.
He's like, wait a minute, you have a twin? I might be able to, because, like, of course he's not going to let Marshall score. No. That's the whole point.
Yeah.
But meanwhile,
if he can stop Marshall from scoring and land himself the belt.
Yeah, I think that's the only reason he even set up the double date.
That's fair.
Because, you know, Barney doesn't tend to hit it twice.
No.
You know? But he was willing to try to do it, to try to get to the three-way belt.
New is always better.
New is always better, John. So Barney heads back to the table, tells the girls that Marshall has food poisoning.
Food poisoning, which is a lame and fucking excuse, but...
Yeah, it's just...
They buy it.
Oh, yeah. So we head outside of McLaren's, and Marshall sees Lily for the first time in 3 months. She looks real happy to see him. He, however, does not. He asks what she's doing there, and she says that she made a huge mistake, and she wants to get back together. Marshall tells her that, you know, 3 months ago, you broke my heart. And she asks again, and he says no. You know, specifically, he says no, not right now, that kind of thing. Kind of, you know, does the whole, what she does to like, Scooter, the whole keep it on the hook kind of thing.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? He does that. But I don't think he's not doing it maliciously. I do think that deep down, you know, he does hope that there's that chance, but he just can't do it right now. she was not expecting that. Do you remember your reaction to seeing this the first time and how he, like, him just flat out being,
dude,
no?
Yeah, I thought it was going to go different. I thought he's going to see her and be like, yes.
Yeah.
And it still hurts every time I watch this. This part of the season is so hard.
Yeah.
Because, like, I love the Marshall Lily combination. Mm-hmm. I think what they have is a phenomenal love. So this part of the series, or the series where like they're not together and they're fighting, but they're like they're not really fighting because they still try to remain friends, as you see. Like it just it fucking hurts because they're so good together.
Yeah.
And like even like Allison Hannigan has said like she hated parts of like working with Jason Segel, like his smoking and shit like that. They had really great on-screen chemistry with one another, and it plays out so well between the two characters. Uh-huh. And I love seeing it because I mean Allison Hannigan is a beautiful woman. She's funny and she's charismatic, and Jason Segel is just a fucking goofball. I feel like he's like could hang out with us and we could just banter with him all night.
Speaking real quick, this is a weird side note tangent. Speaking of Jason Segel, I watched Despicable Me yesterday.
Okay.
And I did not realize that he voices the villain Vector in that movie.
Oh, yeah.
I did not, because it does not sound anything like him.
No.
Right? And I think what I think is hilarious is that Russell Brand's also in that movie.
Yep.
And so the two of them were in that movie. Yep. I thought that was too funny.
Yeah. Vector.
Oh yeah, Vector.
I say that to Cal all the time.
Dude, I do too. I did not know that was Jason Segel.
Yeah, I had learned that one was Jason Segel a while ago. And I thought it was I think it's great.
Yeah, but he does a great like you can't tell.
Nope.
Same with Russell Brand's character. He plays Dr. Nefario. Can't tell. you really can't. anyways. But so they talk for a bit on the stoop to their building. And she asks him if there's anything she can do to start to make it up to him.
And he goes, nah.
Well, no. Yeah, he has an idea. So we go inside the bar. Barney is chatting up the twins. Lily comes walking in and walks right up to Barney's table and says, "You gave me chlamydia, you jerk." Throws a drink in his face and yep. walks out. And we're like, okay, you know, that's a thing. Okay. But that ain't it, man, because a few seconds later.
But I think it's great, though. He tries to go back to hitting on them.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, where was I? Oh, yeah. Menager. Oh, see, I did it again. Manager. Yep. Menager.
All of a sudden, Lily walks in the door. Only thing different is she put on a hat.
Yep, same dress, just wearing a hat.
You gave my sister chlamydia and throws another drink in his face.
Dude, it was hilarious. And the twins are like, yep. And the twins are like, nah, we're out of here. They get up and they leave. And then Barney like essentially like looks dead to the camera and is like,
yeah,
well played, Erickson. Well played. It's he kind of puts on that kind of attitude of like, I'm going to get you back for this.
Oh, yeah.
I'll you know,
Erickson.
Yeah,
and your little dog too,
and your little fucking dog, and that's how the episode ends, John.
Yeah.
So, what were your overall thoughts of season two, episode two, The Scorpion?
I mean, I stay with it. It's a solid episode.
Yeah, I agree. I think this new guy Rob Greenberg. What did I say his name was? Yeah, Rob Greenberg. I think he did a good job directing for his first time, not having Pamela Fryman here. I think it was well done. Well done.
I would agree.
Yeah, I really enjoy this episode. I mean, I don't like seeing Lily and Marshall apart, but I think they do enough around that with the surrounding characters that make me enjoy the episodes so far. But yeah, so that's all I got. Do you have anything else you want to say about the episode itself?
No.
Okay. All right. So, I mean, that takes us to everybody's favorite part. Barney's blog. That's right.
Pseudo bitches.
That's right. And so for today's blog entry, we have Chicks Times Two. That's the name of this one. From Tuesday, September 26th, 2006, at 2:29 p.m., this one, he kind of talks about what he calls the elusive white whale of getting identical twins.
Fair enough.
Yeah. And so he's got this like little list of fun facts about twins. But before he gets into the whole list, he has this little thing that says, "I promise you this, dear readers, one day I will double my pleasure. One day I will double my pleasure. Also, feel free to send your twin pictures to me at BarneyStinson@yahoo.com. He puts it in there two in a row. He puts his email address. I kind of want to email it to see if anything comes back.
That would be great.
I don't know if it's still in use or not, but all right. So we've got fun facts about twins. He's got a list of 10 famous twins. It says, or 20, I guess, because, you know, they're twins. So it's the Olsen twins, duh. Okay. Romulus and Remus. Nick Nolte and Gary Busey. I think it's hilarious because they do look a lot alike. Breasts are apparently identical twins. You know, because they're fair breasts.
Kit Kats.
And these aren't, this is just 10 famous twins, not 10 famous identical twins.
I mean, breasts are on there.
I know, but the next one is obviously not. Oh. It's Luke and Leia. They're twins, but they're not they identical twins. Tomax and Zaymot. I don't know what that one is. Kirby Puckett, the Barbie twins, Zan and Jaina. I know that one because that's the Wonder Twins.
The Wonder Twins, yep.
And then Arnold Schwarzenegger and Danny DeVito, you know, from the movie Twins, which I thought was pretty funny.
That's great.
So then his next one is, where do twins come from? He says, contrary to popular belief, twins do not come from accidentally getting water on a newborn, but, you know, like gremlins, but from science. Roughly one fertilized egg or zygote out of every 150 devised to form two separate embryos. Gross. And then the last thing he has on here is, who should have an identical twin? His first on the list says me.
So,
yep. And the second on the list, hot chicks. And that's it.
Fair.
That is all he's got for that. So, you know, not too long of a blog entry this time around, but pretty succinct to what Barney likes.
Blog entry, though.
Yeah, it's pretty succinct to what Barney likes to do and talk about. So, yeah, so that's it. This was a bit of a shorter episode, I think. I hope you guys enjoyed it. I hope you guys are excited to move forward with our show. We're in season two. I'm excited. We got some great episodes coming up.
Oh, yeah. I've been preparing for a couple of the upcoming episodes. Yeah. For some reason, my shoulder's been a little tense lately, so I've been working on a couple of things. yeah. I mean, it just, I don't know. This motion seems to really help my shoulder feel so much better.
Yeah, buddy.
It's like,
yeah.
It's like there's some real tension, but the faster I do it, like, really seems to help.
It's going to be good. Next week, we're actually going to have a guest on the show. Actually, for the next two episodes, we're going to have a guest on the show. So definitely check that out. We'll also have a guest still. It'll be the same guest for that Slap Bet episode that we're talking about. So
hell yeah.
Yeah, it's going to be a good time. I'm excited to have our first guest on the show. Maybe we'll have other people. We'll see. We'll see how it goes.
I mean, having other people on the show could be a knee slapper of a time.
It could be.
Knee slapper.
It absolutely could be. So I think that's all I got. You got anything left that you want to say before we wrap things up?
No.
Nope. No? All right. So why don't you let everybody then know where they can find you?
Well, you can always find me on Twitter at SimplySaneJ1. Corresponds with my podcast and my blog, Simply Sane with Jay. I'm also on Facebook. And I mean, if you really want, I got an email. It's my name, John_made@hotmail.com. For, you know, those people who, you know, like to do it old school. You can always find me pretty much anywhere. You can find me on like this corresponding stuff, the Off the Rope stuff, which is Josh and my other podcast. I'm not hard to find. It's Josh over here who's got like 17,000 things going on.
That's true, I do. You can find me on Twitter at JP Raynor, that's JPRAYNOR, as well as right down here at Movie Blog Merc. That is the Twitter page for my site, Merc the Movie Blog. If you're watching this on YouTube, that means you're watching it on the Merc with the Movie Blog YouTube channel. So please hit that like button, smash that subscribe button, smash the shit out of it, and then
smash also like it's Victoria.
That's right. And then hit that little bell so you always get notified when we drop a new episode. Also, make sure that you follow Last Call at McLaren's on Twitter at Last Call HIMYM. That's Last Call HIMYM. You can also head over to our anchor page, which is anchor.fm/Last Call HIMYM. You can leave us a voice message there, which we will, as long as it's you know, not something I dislike, I will play it on air. If it's not too vulgar, I mean, we get pretty vulgar, but
we do,
you know, I got limits. I got limits, people. Yeah, I got layers. Limits. I got layers. I'm not liquid.
He's got layers like an onion.
Like a, everybody loves cake.
Cake.
That's right. And you also, if you like listening on podcasts and you're listening over on Apple Podcasts, please leave a 5-star review. If you like what you hear. And if you leave a written review, we will read that on air. So now that I've gotten my spiel out of the way, John, what do you got for them?
Ladies and gentlemen, you don't have to go home, but you can't listen here.
That's right, folks. Catch you on the flippity-flop.